Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is August 22nd, 2018, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is A Message to You, Rudy, about rudeness. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Simon McCormick. Simon is an emergency medicine consultant from Northern Ireland who works in Rottingham Hospital in Yorkshire, England. He is currently redeployed in medical education on a, quote, burnout sabbatical, but is hopeful of returning to the shop floor in the near future. He writes a blog called Broken Toy, covering topics such as his experience with burnout, medical education, and looking after each other. He has also been known to run around Sheffield in an Iron Man costume. Welcome to the S-Gem, Simon.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for inviting me on. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Well, there are so many things in your introduction that I could get into, including running around in an Iron Man costume.
Yeah, Ken, it's a skin-tight outfit that leaves little to the imagination, and I've run the Sheffield Half Marathon a couple of times in it. But hey, look, it's not like I'm cultivating some sort of weird secret superhero identity or anything. That would be just weird, wouldn't it?
I don't know, but I don't feel confident running around right now in a skin-tight costume in my current athletic, let's say, physique, my middle age. You know what? It's called middle age for a reason. There's a lot of middle there. So, you know, this is season number 7, and this is the first episode, and I am so excited that we are going to kick off the first episode, season number 7, to talk about rudeness, because I think it is a really important topic.
I agree, Ken. There's far too much of it around, and we really need to get into what effect that's having on us and potentially on our patients, maybe.
And I think it's a great way to start season 7, because if we address this rudeness up front, I think we can be kinder, more empathetic, and better physicians giving better care to the patients we care for.
You're not going to get a disagreement from me, Ken.
Well, I'm going to ask you, do you feel comfortable telling the S-Gemmers a bit about your story that resulted in your broken toy blog?
Yeah. Listen, about 3 years ago, after about 12 years as an EM consultant, that's an attending equivalent, I had a breakdown at the hospital. I was off work completely for about 6 weeks. And then it took me about 6 months slowly to get back into a position of working in the EM. But I only did that part-time. I did half-time of that, half-time medical education. Now, during that time, while I was off work, one of the things that kept me going was knowing that I wasn't the only EM doctor out there who was struggling, although I did find it difficult to find people who were willing to talk openly about that or about their experiences. So one of the things I decided was that I wasn't going to be ashamed of what happened and would be open and honest about my situation. So the Broken Toy blog is my attempt to show colleagues who are struggling that they're not alone, and that there is potential for a positive outcome from what can be a very traumatic experience, and perhaps to help those who haven't been there to have some insight into what their colleagues might be going through. The Broken Toy name itself refers to the idea that a toy that has been damaged isn't necessarily finished with. It can be repaired and be useful again. It just needs to be treated a little bit more gently than before if you want it to last. Now, personally, I've had a further bump in the road in my recovery, and for the last year I've been out of clinical work and been on another bout of burnout sabbatical, spending all my time in medical education, which is great fun. And recently I have started spending some time back on the ED shop floor again as a clinical educator. So that's a positive, and who knows where that will lead.
You know, listening to your story, it just brought back memories of watching Toy Story, and probably because, you know, toy is in the name of your blog, and I really do appreciate you sharing your personal story about burnout, but it got me remembering about that Toy Story and the song about, you know, Jessie, the cowgirl, and being thrown away and discarded, or the older toys and stuff like that. And it actually, yeah, it was a little bit moving, and then I started thinking, you know what, Simon, you've got a friend in me. And that's the song that came to my head. It did. And you know what? Sharing that personal story, I think you are super brave for being able to come out and be able to talk about it openly and share your story so other people know they are not alone. And they are not alone. I'm sure someone's listening right now. And so if you're struggling and if you're having problems, you're not alone. And there are people that are sympathetic and happy to help and want to see you do well. And I'm one of them. So thank you very much for sharing your story.
No problem, Ken. I think it's really important. If anyone's listening out there who's struggling, reach out and tell someone. And equally, if you're the colleague of someone and you think they might be struggling, don't be afraid to say to them, how are you today? Is there anything I could do to help? You don't seem your normal self. Take a risk, reach out and give them a chance.
And you know, we are very good diagnosticians using clinical gestalt. And if somebody says in response to that, how are you doing today? If they say, fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. You know, there's so much in that one word, fine. Oh, what do you mean by fine? Oh, tell me more. Oh, what's going on? You know, like, engage people. Make sure that you're still engaging with them. And it'll really make a culture of caring. And I think that translates into better patient care.
Yeah. And listen, Ken, I think the other thing to watch out for, if somebody comes up and asks you how you're feeling, be honest. But sometimes that's because they want you to ask them.
Good point. And if you're the person who gets told I'm not doing well, be sympathetic and understanding. Don't just be like, come on, you can do this. Well, I think that's a great introduction about burnout. And, you know, it's time to start getting nerdy. So can you give us a case?
Yeah, here's the case we've got. You are working in the emergency department and have just been involved in a difficult case in the resuscitation room. During the resuscitation, a relative of the patient you've been treating, named Rudy, made a derogatory comment about emergency medicine staff.
Unfortunately, rudeness is a problem that is rife in medicine. It does not just come from patients and/or their relatives, as in this case, but it can also come from the medical team. Specialties make fun of each other, and you know what? I've been guilty of that in the past, and this has actually sensitized me to that. We use unflattering stereotypes. Seniors are unpleasant to juniors, and physicians can say derogatory things to nurses. That should never happen.
Now, and this internal rudeness has traditionally been seen as just part of medicine, or perhaps a way to build a tribe, separating us from somebody else by saying they're different to us. It's also part of the black humor, maybe, and the banter that happens and is needed to survive in the tough environment of medicine.
But more recently, this has been questioned, and people are now more inclined to think of this in the worst form as bullying or harassment, and other milder forms of rudeness as detrimental to the development of staff and harmful to a collaborative culture within medicine.
Perhaps even more worryingly, it's a concern that rudeness has an impact on staff performance, actually putting patients at risk. That said, given it is unlikely that we can eradicate rudeness completely from our working lives, whether that rudeness comes from staff or those patients and families we are trying to help, is it perhaps possible to reduce the impact rudeness may have on staff, either with some sort of preemptive education or a post-event debriefing?
Well, rudeness does not need to be part of medicine, and a better option is to try to be kind, as outlined in the excellent book by Brian Goldman. Now, we discussed Brian's book on the SGEM Extra called Don't Give Up, The Power of Kindness.
Being rude might sometimes make us feel better, particularly in the short term, but it's always at the expense of who we're being rude to. Whilst it might involve a little bit of effort, taking the time to try and understand why someone is behaving as they are and showing some empathy can have real benefits. We start to understand the issues behind their actions and reactions. We are given the opportunity to reach out and show some kindness. And that not only helps them, it helps us as we get a chance to reconnect with that basic human desire to be helpful. That's why many of us are in a caring profession anyway. So instead of the win-lose of rudeness, we get a win-win with kindness.
Yes, we do. It's a win-win. All right, so now we have the clinical question, and we have actually two clinical questions. What a great way to start season number 7. We got two questions to answer. So what are the two questions we're going to try to answer on today's SGEM episode?
Okay, Ken, the first question is, does rudeness affect performance of a clinical team? And the second question is, If it does, can we mitigate the effects of rudeness?
And what's the reference, Simon?
It's Riskin, Eres, Folk et al., Rudeness and Medical Team Performance. And that's from the February 2017 issue of Pediatrics.
All right, let's run through the PICO. What was the population?
Neonatal intensive care unit staff, both physicians and nurses, working in a number of NICUs in Israel.
And what was the intervention?
Well, Ken, staff were exposed to a controlled rude event by a relative during the first of a series of five resuscitation simulations. Staff were given either a pre-intervention cognitive bias modification or a post-intervention therapeutic narrative intervention.
Yeah, so cognitive bias modification, or CBM, is also known as cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. And it's a therapy that tries to change behaviors by identifying maladaptive behaviors and then finding ways, often using talk therapy, to change those behaviors.
Yeah, and the CBM intervention here involved brief, computerized cognitive training modules, which were designed to alter threat-oriented biases in interpretation by promoting a more positive or benign response rather than a threat-based interpretation of ambiguous information or stimuli.
And then the narrative intervention was having the participants write down the event post-experience to help process the event. This has been shown to improve health and general well-being. What did they compare it to?
Well, what they compared it to was a neutral comment made by the relative with no pre- or post-rudeness intervention given.
And how about their outcomes?
Well, Ken, there were yeah, we know where this is going.
I'm just gonna take a breath. You go ahead, and I'll just breathe. Okay.
Okay. There were nine parameters separated into two broad aspects of team performance, which were rated on a 5-point Likert scale, from one, a failure, to five being excellent, as well as rudeness manipulation checks.
All right, so let's go through those nine parameters. They had medical and therapeutic performance.
Yeah, there were four of these. There was diagnostic performance, quality of therapy plan, intervention, and overall general assessment of medical therapy.
And then they had teamwork or relational cooperative performance.
Yeah, and you'll be pleased, there were five of these, your favorite number. There was information sharing, workload sharing, helping among team members, communication between team members, and then overall general assessment of teamwork.
And then they did a rudeness manipulation check, which really wasn't described in the methods. So let's get to the author's conclusions. They were, quote, rudeness has robust, deleterious effects on the performance of medical teams. Moreover, exposure to rudeness debilitates the very collaborative mechanisms recognized as essential for patient care and safety. Interventions focusing on teaching medical professionals to implicitly avoid cognitive distractions, such as CBM, may offer a means to mitigate the adverse consequences of behaviors that, unfortunately, cannot be prevented. End of quote. All right, Simon, let's go through the quality checklist for RCTs. Question number one, the study population, did it include or focused on those in the emergency department?
No, these were NICU physicians and nurses.
Were the teams adequately randomized?
Yes, I think they were.
Did they conceal that randomization?
Yep. Randomization was done by using cards in sealed, non-transparent envelopes containing the four assignments.
And the teams, were they analyzed in the groups to which they were randomized?
Yes, they were.
Did they recruit these teams consecutively?
It's unsure. They do not specifically mention that teams were recruited consecutively. Rather, they say four teams were recruited on each simulation day, with two teams assigned randomly to either a rude comment made by the infant's mother earlier in the day or control. And then the two other teams were assigned to the rude comment with either CBM pre-exposure or the narrative intervention post-exposure.
The teams in both groups, were they similar with respect to prognostic factors?
Unsure about that, Ken. The manuscript is silent on this issue.
All participants were unaware of group allocation.
No, the teams knew which group they were assigned, but the assessors, who were two independent NICU staff, they were blinded to the group assignment.
All groups were treated equally except for the intervention.
Yes.
How was the follow-up? Complete?
Yes, it was.
were all team or patient-oriented outcomes, but in this case, team outcomes considered?
No, the parameters measured would be considered important by most team members. However, they weren't measuring patient-oriented outcomes.
And the final question, the treatment effect, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
Unsure, Ken. Clinical significance was not measured in this study.
All right, let's run through the key results. They recruited 39 NICU teams consisting of two physicians and two nurses split across the four groups. And that was the neutral control group, the rudeness exposure with no intervention, rudeness exposure with prior CBM, and the fourth group, rudeness exposure with post-event narrative intervention.
Yeah, and rudeness negatively impacted medical and therapeutic performance, as well as teamwork and relational cooperation. Pre-exposure CBM seemed to mitigate the impact of rudeness, while post-exposure narrative intervention didn't seem to have any effect at all.
Well, compared to the control group, those exposed to the rudeness had statistically significant reduction in 7 of the 9 scores, measured including the mean therapeutic and mean teamwork scores.
Those who were exposed to rudeness but had received pre-exposure CBM did not have a statistically significant drop in any scores compared to the controls. This suggests a degree of protection with CBM from the impact of rudeness.
Those who had the post-exposure narrative intervention showed a similar drop in medical and therapeutic performance, as well as teamwork or relational cooperative scores compared to the controls. This suggests a lack of protection with post-exposure narrative intervention from the impact of rudeness. Now, I know that sounds a little complicated, what we just went through, so I'm going to put together a table that'll have a visual sort of representation where we'll have happy smiley faces where there was no statistical impact of rudeness using a p-value, and then we'll have these frown upside down emojis that'll be in red, and this had a statistical negative impact on rudeness, and I'll put that table in the show notes. But Simon, it's time to talk a little nerdy, and we're going to go through how many points, Simon? Come on. What do you say?
Oh, I would hope there's going to be 5, Ken.
Oh, I wouldn't want to disappoint you. All right. So the first one is about external validity. And the population in this study was not ED staff, but rather NICU teams. The clinical scenarios they faced were pretty extreme, pushing their teamwork to the limit. It is reasonable to think rudeness would have a similar impact on the function of ED staff and that CBM could mitigate the negative effects. However, the intellectual honest answer is we are unsure if these results can be generalized to the ED until it's studied in that specific environment.
Yeah, Ken, this is not because we in the ED are better than those in the NICU, but because our working experiences are different. Whilst it is clear that staff on a NICU will experience rudeness at work, most people, I think, would agree that the ED is a place where tensions run high more often, and interpersonal conflict is, unfortunately, too frequent an occurrence. Having been in EM for nearly 20 years now, I found the rude statement used in this study quite benign compared to what I faced on a semi-regular basis in the ED. It's therefore possible, given the successful intervention was a type of desensitization therapy, that ED staff have already become immune to this level of rudeness. And whilst we're talking about the level of rudeness, I wonder what the impact of the study's rude statement would have in different countries. How might the famously, or is it infamously, polite British and Canadians react compared to our stereotypically more robust, shall we say, colleagues from the United States, South Africa, or Australia?
That's an excellent question, because it does take place in a context, and different practice environments certainly have different cultures. Okay, nerdy point number 2. This is about recruitment and prognostic factors. They do not specifically mention that teams were recruited consecutively. This could have introduced some bias selection. It is unclear if this would have impacted the results.
I think another important point to bring up in the prognostic factors is the teams being studied were randomly assigned to each group, but there's very limited assessment of the teams, of their baseline characteristics. The only characteristic recorded was of, quote, cumulative experience, and this was found to be distributed equally across the groups.
Whilst it may be impossible to... Oh, did you see that? I just used whilst instead of while. You're having an effect on me already.
You're making new words up, Ken.
I'm starting to become more British or something. Because you guys all say whilst, and we never say whilst.
Oh, we say whilst all the time, kind of all the time.
Well, it may be impossible to control for all life experiences that might impact upon the psychological study, such as this. It would have been good to know if the groups were matched for age, sex, individual clinical experiences, or seniority of position, to name just a few.
Yeah, in this study, Ken, a team of four staff, each with 5 years of experience, is deemed equal to a team with three staff who have 1 year of experience and one who is 17. And that just doesn't sound right to me. It might be argued that this was a study designed to look at teams as a whole, not individuals, hence that use of cumulative experience. But we cannot ignore the fact that teams are composed of individuals, each of whom can have a huge impact upon how that team functions as a whole.
All right, the third point is about the interventions. There were two intervention points described in this study. The rudeness intervention was delivered during the first simulation by the actor playing the mother, and it was a rude statement. Now, I'm not going to be able to channel my internal mother anger, but I can do my angry dad voice. So this will be the angry dad voice. Okay, quote, "I know we should have gone to a better hospital where they don't practice third world medicine." Yep, that was my angry dad voice. However, how do we know whether this was considered rude by the study participants? The investigators did do manipulation checks at 2 points later in the day to see if the team members had picked up on this rudeness, which they had.
Now, the second intervention was the attempt to treat the rudeness, either proactively or retrospectively. The proactive treatment was a cognitive bias modification, which is described in detail in the paper. However, in short, it appeared to be a computer-based task where team members looked at faces on screen in different stages of happiness or anger and rated what they thought the emotion displayed was. After establishing where their threshold to threat was, the computer program gave feedback to try and raise that threshold, effectively immunizing staff against minor threats.
The retrospective treatment was a narrative intervention where, after the first simulation, team members were asked to write a couple of paragraphs about how the mother might have felt during the resuscitation. We are probably much more familiar with this approach to rudeness, with reflective practice as an increasing part of our development as clinicians.
However, whilst this reflective process appeared to make team members feel the mother was less rude by the end of the day, by using the previously mentioned manipulation checks, it didn't seem to help protect them from the effect of the rudeness. Interestingly, on the other hand, the CBM appeared to increase the perception of the mother's rudeness, but did seem to prevent that rudeness adversely affecting performance.
And while the CBM intervention looks like it might be useful, we are unsure as to the duration of the effect, as no measurements were carried out beyond the day of training. This means that the practical application of such an intervention is currently pretty low, as having all staff spend 20 minutes on a computer pre-shift? Oh yeah, that's not happening.
No, clearly can't. But however, if it is consistently shown to make a significant persistent difference, one could imagine perhaps an app-based version or on a computer screen in the department, if staff could access that at an evidence-based interval to raise their threshold of threat and reduce that impact of rudeness, maybe there is something in this.
All right, the fourth nerdy point is about multiple measurements and comparisons. Oh, how many times, Simon, do I have to say?
There can be only one.
Primary outcome. This study had 9 different outcomes measured on a 5-point Likert scale. They never did identify what their primary outcome was and what the secondary outcomes would be.
Yeah, they also compared the CBM versus control and narrative intervention versus control. This led to multiple measurements and multiple comparisons. The concern, obviously, with this approach is that eventually one or two will be statistically significantly different just by chance.
However, given that all the measurements in this study seem to move in a similar direction for each group and consistent with the intervention, it's probably okay, but we need to watch out for this type of thing.
Yeah, and whilst we're on the subject of measurements, the one that they used in this trial does not appear to have been validated anywhere else. Now, it was very similar to those used in the author's previous paper on rudeness, where they were looking at individuals, but they tweaked them slightly to reflect team skills. On a positive note, the two-person team doing the assessments were blinded, had good training with this tool, and their inter-rater reliability was reported as moderate to high. So that's a positive.
All right, and the fifth and final point is about outcomes. The mean difference between rudeness and control group for general teamwork and general therapeutic performance was 0.37 and 0.57, respectively, on a 5-point Likert scale. Nobody's going to remember those numbers. Sure, they were statistically significant, but we don't know if they would be clinically significant.
Yeah, and more importantly, we have no knowledge on whether this rudeness negatively affecting the teamwork and therapeutic performance actually has any impact on any patient-oriented outcomes.
And continuing with that thought process, even if CBM mitigates the negative impact of rudeness on those measurements, does it result in a net patient-oriented benefit? These are important questions that still remain, and we would encourage the authors to consider exploring these additional important questions. All right, that's it for the five nerdy points. Time to comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusion.
Ken, I think we generally agree with their conclusions, although we might ask the authors politely if they would tone down the certainty in their language a bit, given the limitations of the study, the designs, and the results that we have discussed.
Well, can you give us a bottom line?
Yeah, rudeness can have an impact upon how medical teams function, and there may be a way to protect staff against this negative influence.
And how about a case resolution?
Whilst waiting for further information about practical use of CBM, you decide to try and reduce the amount of rudeness in your department by setting a good example to others.
You also have a private conversation with Rudy later about his derogatory comment about the EM staff and politely discuss it could be perceived and negatively impact the team performance during resuscitation.
In addition, you use this event as a teaching opportunity for your staff to explore the topic of rudeness, explain the impact it can have on team performance, and encourage them to try and always be kind to patients and to each other.
And how are you going to take this information and apply it clinically?
Well, we're unsure how to apply this information clinically. It does, however, appear that rudeness can have an impact on team performance. What we do not know is if it has a negative impact on patient-oriented outcomes in the ED. In addition, we also are unsure if CBM would mitigate the effect of rudeness in this clinical setting as it did in the NICU.
So what are you going to tell the team when you talk to them?
Sometimes patients and relatives can be rude to us, but we can also be very rude to each other too. It is a practice of tribalism that has gone on for far too long in medicine. This can have a negative influence on our team performance and could impact upon patient care and safety. Let's instead try to be kind to each other and always remember that we're all working for the best interests of our patients.
All right, it's time to announce the Keener Contest winner. And last week's winner was Noel Blanco from El Paso, Texas. He knew it is estimated that 22,000 Canadians die each year from adverse drug reactions. What's the question for this week?
Okay, Ken. Which famously rude fictional doctor once said to one of his junior colleagues, "Are you a real doctor or a doctor like Dr. Pepper is a doctor?"
Oh, was it House? Was it House?
I'm not saying anything, Ken. I'm not saying anything.
All right. Well, if you know the answer to this week's Keener Contest question, then send an email to thesgem at gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize.
And listen, if in doubt, there are these skeptical prizes. They do exist. I've got two of them. I'm wearing them at this very moment, and they are incredibly cool, Ken.
Oh, that must have increased your skepticism and your critical appraisal skills significantly. All right, there is other FOMED resources on rudeness, and I will put those in the show notes. But thank you, Simon, for bringing this article to my attention on rudeness and for being such a great guest skeptic.
It's been my pleasure, Ken. The SGEM was one of the podcasts I discovered and started listening to when I first went off sick, and it helped me rediscover my love of emergency medicine. So it's been a privilege for me to be part of it today.
Well, that really made my day, so thanks. One more thing, Simon. We need you to give the SGEM tagline, but it's got to be in your best Irish accent.
Well, we've got to go Northern Irish here, Ken. We've got to go Northern Ireland. So remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
I talk to everyone next week.